thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Was ready, steady, go for God. And throughout the week, we had lots of Bible stories where there was people who were ready, steady, and they had to action and go. And if you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you could turn with me for a few minutes to Luke's Gospel. And again, it's a well-known story tonight. And Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And looking, if you keep your Bibles open just for a few minutes, from verse 11 down to verse 32. And kids, maybe a few of us older adults remember this too. If you can think back to finishing up school this year, we usually finish with sports days. And if you can recall, the teacher will get you lined up, and all lined up, and you'll hear those words, "Ready, steady, go." The whistle will go, and you're into the race. It's a long distant memory for me from when I was at school and hearing those words of ready, steady, and go. But in this chapter in Luke's Gospel, there were three stories about people who had to go to find something that had been lost. And as the story, the chapter starts off, we had the story of the lost sheep, where the shepherd, he left the 99 and he went after the one that was lost. And we had the lady who had lost the coin. And again, she had to go and search for the lost coin. And I want to focus our attention a few minutes tonight on the lost son, where we've seen a father who is running to welcome home his lost son. If we can pick the reading up in verse 11 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. Jesus speaking, then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. He journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." Now, if we want you to come with me on a bit of a journey through this story tonight, and farming life is always busy. There's lots to do. Anyone who is from a farming background, particularly here in North Antrim, we can all identify with farming. It's early morning starts, it's late evening finishes, it's hard work, and there's lots of jobs to be doing on the farm. And then especially when it would have been in these days, that we wouldn't have had all the machinery that so many of our farmers have today. But our story tells us of a certain man. He had two sons. And the younger of these two sons, he came to his dad, and he demanded his share of his inheritance. He was unhappy. This young lad was unhappy, and he was planning to leave home. And he came to his dad, and he says to his dad, "Give me the portion of goods that falls to me." And the younger son had this. He was motivated here with his foolishness, with his greed, and it ultimately was going to be a wrong decision. So here we have him. He was ready, he was steady, and he was ready to go and run in a race that he chose for himself. So he demanded his share of the family inheritance, and the father here clearly illustrates to us God's love. The father knew that he was going to make a foolish and a greedy request, and yet he allowed him to go. And the sad father hands across to the younger son his share of the inheritance. And we read that he journeyed to a far country, and there he wasted his possessions with prodigal living. He left home. No more farming from me. He was through with this life. Wanted no more to do with it. He was ready, steady, go, as quick as he could. Get me out of here. I am done with this farming life. I'm done being under my father's authority. And then we read on in our story that the father watches him as he leaves and is obviously upset to see his son leaving. And he races off. He starts off a journey. He then races off to this far country, and it would have been so different from the work and those endless jobs that he would have been doing back on the farm. And his race, his choice, his race took him to a city that would have been so different that he would have been used to a different environment back home. And he soon forgot. He soon forgot all about that lifestyle. He had his mind set up. He was journeying off on his race. When he arrives in the city, he soon attracts friends who are eager to help him spend his money. And yes, he spends his money continuously on parties, on a party lifestyle. No doubt it was fun while it lasted, and his race from home had given him this totally different lifestyle. Back home was far from his mind. But we read on in our story that soon his inheritance was disappearing. And we read that when he had spent all, a severe famine had come to that land. Suddenly, his inheritance is gone. With no money left, his friends soon left him, and he went away. The son was completely to blame for the race that he had started off on, ready, steady, go in that journey that he had went on. But obviously this famine that was now in the land, he was being affected by it. So he had to leave the city, and he had to look for work. And the Bible tells us that he then, the only job he could get was looking after pigs. Driven by hunger, driven by need, the son accepted what was very much unacceptable and offensive to any young Jewish boy. And this certainly was work that he never, ever would have done or experienced back home. Can you imagine how he must have felt? Yeah, even his job was lower than the work of his father's servants that they had to do back at home. And the Bible tells us he was so hungry, so driven by hunger, so driven by need, that he wanted to eat the food that the very pigs were eating. And we read that no one gave him anything. And the misery of the prodigal son certainly moves our sympathy. And yes, he was ready, steady to go, had run him in a race that was a very different race. And yet his misery drove him to think on where he had come from. Let's read on in our chapter, in verse 17. So the lost son's decision was to return to his father. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and yet I perish here with hunger." He says, "I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" And in his misery, the prodigal son was finally able to think clearly. And in the race that he had run in this wrong direction, you know, it took him to somewhere where he couldn't stop. Life had spiraled out of his control. And here is a life lesson tonight, that sin will always take you further and further away from God. And in his thinking, he didn't think of how to improve his conditions in the pig pen. He didn't blame his father or his brother, his friends, his boss, or the pigs. He recognized his misery without focusing on it, and instead he focused on his Father. That is so important. The Bible tells us, he said, I will arise and go to my Father. And Jesus didn't say that the man thought of his village or his home, but it was his Father. In his condition, in his need, he recognized straight away that it was his Father he was to return to. And in verse 18 we read, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. This was a prepared speech that he had went over, that he was going to say to his Father when he returned. But it shows his sense of unworthiness. It was an honest confession of sin. You know that he could, but even be treated as a son. You know, he was happy to be treated as a hired servant when he returned to his Father. This was a total change of thinking. And he didn't think like this before. He made no attempt here to excuse or justify his sin. When he was ready, steady, go to leave his Father, he was thinking, Father, give me. That was his attitude. His attitude here was totally different. It was no longer, give me. We now see him returning, ready, steady, go to return to his Father with a totally different thinking. His request this time is, Father, make me, make me. And he started to measure his worth and his identity. And he quickly realized how far he had run from his Father. And you know what? It would only be the remarkable grace of his Father that would accept him back. That unmerited, unearned favor that would accept that son back into the family. And ultimately, that is a picture of our God tonight, the one who has remarkable grace, that unmerited favor of God, that unearned favor that he will give to us when we turn to him. But it's here in the story that we see the Father who was ready, steady, go. And we read on in the chapter that he arose in verse 20. He arose and he came to his Father. And when he was still a great way off, his Father saw him. And he had compassion. He ran. He fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf, kill it. Let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. He arose and came to his father. He didn't stop at thinking. This was his thought process. But he didn't just feel sorry about himself. He didn't think about repenting. He actually did it. He actioned his thinking. And that is so important. He actioned his thinking. And perhaps you're sitting here tonight and you have been thinking and thinking and thinking. But I say to you tonight, don't think yourself into a lost eternity. May you, by God's grace, his remarkable grace, be turned from thinking into believing. That's the difference tonight. Don't think and think. Believe in your heart and take this to your heart. Run. Do your ready, steady, go and run to your heavenly Father. He didn't think about going back to the citizen of the country where he was feeding those pigs. He didn't ask for an increase in wages. No, he realized it was time to go home to his father. It was ready, steady, go. Escape for your life to Jesus, who receives all such runaways. That is the message of the gospel, that we are told that the person who comes to Jesus, he has said, I will in no way, no wise cast out. That invitation is open to the children as we've had them here all week. It is open to you tonight as adults here in this meeting. It is the same invitation. Are you ready? Are you ready to go and go for God? But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. He ran and he had compassion, and the father's love waited. The father's love waited. It never forgot his son. Is that you tonight? How long has the father been waiting for you? How long have you been thinking about coming to get your life right before a holy God? How long? How long has the father been waiting? It was a love that was fully received. The son wasn't put on probation. No, that's not how God works. This is especially remarkable. The son, yes, had disgraced the family by his lifestyle, but here we see the heart of God. The depth of the son's repentance is matched only by the depth of the father's love. It's God's heart for us tonight. As his children, no matter how we have ran so far from him tonight, it is his heart as love. The Bible tells it, he loves us with an everlasting love, a love that he will never forsake us. And he is waiting tonight for our ready, steady go to repent of our foolish thinking and to come home. We tend to focus within this story so much of the sin of the rebellious boy. But in these closing minutes, I bring you again to the father who restores him with staggering generosity and affection. The remarkable grace of our Heavenly Father. When the prodigal comes to his senses and returns home, we see here that true picture of what God is like. The father is waiting. He is watching. He is scanning the horizon for his boy to come home. And he sees that figure appearing in the distance. And instantly he recognizes his son's walk. The father begins to run. Yes, losing his dignity in that culture. It was young men who'd done the running, not the elders. But the father runs. He throws himself upon the son, wet with tears, wrapping his arms around him. And the son tries to resist. He is guilty. Yes, he is unworthy. He has been a disgrace. The father is having none of it. And he calls for the servants to bring the best robe. It's a robe of honor. He came home in rags, and his father not only clothed him, but he adorned him. He put that best robe on him. It's a robe that demonstrates the Father's complete approval. And that's what he'll do for you tonight. He will accept you as you are. That's how you come, no other way. And he put a ring on his finger, the ring of sonship. And we're told that it was a signet ring with the arms of the family in token of his acceptance back into the family. He now gives him identity, and it's that constant memorial of his father's kindness that he will never forget. He now has identity and the shoes on his feet. He is no longer a slave or a servant, and he now has purpose. And he calves for that fatted calf to be prepared. The party is thrown in the boy's honor. Yes, he was dead, and he has come back to life again. The lost has been found, and the father's son has come home. And this is the incredible good news of the gospel. This is what our Heavenly Father is like, our remarkable Father. And it was Spurgeon who said these words, "The truth here taught is this, that mercy stretches forth her hand to misery, that grace receives us as sinners, that it deals with unworthiness, worthlessness, the unrighteous, the guilty, and the undeserving are the subjects for the infinite mercy of God." If you're in here tonight as a believer, you have years of testimony. That's how you came. If you're in here tonight and you've never put your trust in God, that's how you come. Unworthy, worthless as you might see yourself, but in the eyes of a holy God, He is waiting for you tonight. Are you ready? Steady? Are you ready to go for God? Salvation is not of merit. That's the beauty about this tonight. Salvation is the grace of our remarkable Father. And when you draw near to God, it is His promise that He will draw near to you. I'm almost finished. Have you come but a little way to Him? When you wear that great way off, He will run to meet you. Where are you tonight? What direction are you running? I don't know that the prodigal saw the Father, but we read that the Father saw him. And here's the truth. The eyes of God's mercy are quicker than the eyes of repentance. I don't suppose that the prodigal would have traveled fastly on his journey home. He was downcast. He possibly was doubtful. But slow are the steps of repentance, but swift are the feet of God's forgiveness. We read that the Father saw the Son, and there's a great deal as I finish tonight in that word saw. He saw who He was. He saw where He'd come from. He saw His swineherd's dress. He saw the filth upon His hands and His feet. He saw His rags. He saw His repenting look. He saw what He had been. He saw what He was. But He saw what He soon would be. His Father saw Him. He's looking for you tonight in this company of people. And God has a way of seeing us that you and I do not understand. He is the God who knows all about you as you sit here tonight. He knows where you are. And yes, He sees right through us at a glance. He sees our past, He sees our present, and He sees our future. And when He was yet a great way off, His Father saw Him. A God of compassion. And it's then that we read that the Father ran. The compassion of God is ready, steady, go. And I assure you tonight, on the authority of God's word, that there is no hesitation on His part to accept you into God's family. That invitation is open. Are you ready, steady, go for God? I challenge you tonight, turn your life around and run for God. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.